Hello, this is Dr. Charles Roberts. I'm pastor of Reedy River Presbyterian Church. We are a congregation of the Bible Presbyterian Church General Synod, located in Conestee, South Carolina, about 8 or 9 minutes from downtown Greenville. This particular midweek study, or special study, will serve as a preface or foreword to the Lord's Day sermon that, Lord willing, I will be sharing with this congregation and those of you who listen by audio, a very important one, unlike any other that I have shared really since I've been pastor of this church. It is an election day sermon. The title of the message will be, Look Well to Your Ballot. Now, I want to say something as a preface, a very short word or two, about what is an election day sermon, because they're not very common. I will say, however, that I know a few pastors, most notably my good friend and mentor, Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of the Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. He always preaches Election Day sermons during election cycles, so I commend him and his messages to you. You can find some of his material on sermon audio. Otherwise, just search for Heritage Presbyterian Church, Heritage Reformed Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, Dr. Joe Moorcraft. But before I say anything else, let me share with you this passage from Scripture. Paul writing in Romans 13, a text that has been very much in people's minds in recent weeks and months since some governors and governments have convinced themselves that they have more authority than God Almighty. And so we see people quoting this passage as if it is some sort of license to give blind obedience to tyrannical government leaders. Paul writes, "Let every soul be subject to the government or governing authorities." Now, if he didn't qualify it beyond that, there might be some reason to assume some of the nonsense that's been asserted about this passage. But he goes on, he says, "For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Perhaps it needs to be spelled out that if God is the absolute ultimate authority, there's none higher than his. And if he has the authority to ordain or appoint government authority, or all the authorities that do exist in any realm, then those authorities that exist by his good grace are accountable to him. In other words, the governing authorities are not to act contrary to the divine law of God as revealed in Holy Scripture. And because of that, in these United States, in its early history, clergy of the largely Protestant denominations, the Presbyterians, the Congregationalists, and the Baptists mostly, there were Episcopalians, of course, and most all of these were Reformed or Calvinistic in their orientation. But the pastors of these churches leading up to important elections, whether it be for a governor or president or a mayor even, but they would have what they called Election Day sermons. Not only did these pastors in each of these towns across colonial America preach every Sunday, but in keeping with the Calvinist belief that all human activity falls under the jurisdiction of God's Word, sermons were preached at significant public events, including Election Day sermons. Now, Election Day in colonial America was a colony-wide holiday. And by the way, let me just say, the material I'm sharing with you right now, I've taken from a number of articles off the internet, so let me give credit where it's due. The most politically and socially important members of the community would gather and listen to sermons about civil government and God's Word for hours. And these kind of Election Day sermons would follow a typical pattern. First of all, they would set forth that civil government, now what we mean by civil government is those forms of government other than self-government or ecclesiastical or church government or family government. Civil government is founded on an agreement between God and citizens to establish political systems that promote the common good. And I can assure you that in colonial America, the systems that promote the common good were never thought to be anything other than systems based on God's revealed word in Holy Scripture. Therefore, voters and rulers were told that they must do what is needed for their specific circumstances. in order to do that, to promote the common good biblically. Secondly, the people were encouraged to promise to follow those they had elected, and rulers were to promise to act for the good of all, again, biblically. So there's no concept in any of these Election Day sermons, and you could read many of these, not only does someone like Dr. Moorcraft preach them on a regular basis, but you can find recorded some of these sermons that were preached in the late 1700s and into the early 1800s, and even more recently. So the idea that we are to promise to obey our elected officials in some blind way, as, say, when they tell churches they can't meet or sing hymns and all the other nonsense that we see going on in California right now, among other places, there is no obligation on the part of God's people to obey such ridiculous rules. As long as the rulers, the governors, the presidents, the mayors, the magistrates acted in their proper character, that was the typical wording, the people were to obey. But that's an important qualification, acting in their proper character. And everybody understood what that meant back in this colonial era. At least most people did. On the other hand, if rulers acted contrary to the terms of the agreement, people were duty-bound to resist them, and many times they did. So in all civic actions, we might say in our time political actions, voters and rulers were charged in these Election Day sermons to promote virtue and suppress vice and support people of proven wisdom, integrity, justice, and holiness. So when you say something like that, that political leaders were charged to promote virtue and suppress vice, well, you have to ask, well, what does that mean? Virtue by what standard? Suppress vice, suppress moral evil by what definition? So if you don't have a means of measuring these things, then there's going to be chaos. But there's always a means of measuring them, you see. There is some standard by which vice is determined, or evil is determined. And really, the determination is a very simple one. Vice is going to be defined, or evil, or immorality is going to be defined according to what God's law says is immoral and evil, or it's going to be defined by something else, in which case it is blasphemous and contrary to God's law. And this is largely what we have seen happen in these United States. Now, the message that I'm going to be sharing this Sunday, and I encourage you to please give it a listen, is about what it means to vote wisely, to vote biblically. You know, if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist, you're going to vote according to your moral standards based on your religious presuppositions. If you're an atheist, if you're a secularist or a humanist, then you're going to vote the same way. I'm actually going to tell people how they ought to vote. And you may think that's treading on very dangerous territory for a church, but I encourage you to listen to see exactly what I tell my folks and all who will be listening. So with that, I will wrap up this very brief introduction and forward to the Election Day sermon, giving you a little bit of a background. There's a long history to this in these United States, even if you don't hear much about it in recent times. I don't know that in all the churches that I've been members in and out of and across denominational throughout my lifetime, I don't think I've ever heard an Election Day sermon in person. But our folks here at Reedy River Bible Presbyterian Church will hear one this Sunday, God willing, and there will be a few others across the land as well. And I urge you to avail yourself of this information as we strive to be obedient to God's word, not simply spout our opinions. I told you I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to say one more thing, because, you know, too often when people give what they think are facts and information or their opinions about this candidate or that particular political issue, they're not doing that at all. They think they are. You say, well, what are they doing then? Well, what they're doing is they're simply streaming the words that they've heard from their favorite radio talk show host or their favorite news presenter. This has largely become how people think nowadays. They really don't. They simply parrot what's been given to them in the media, whether it's left or right or in between. So we want to be biblical. We want to follow God's word because God's word alone is true. That is the foundation of all political, family, cultural things, and any other thing that is claimed to be true other than God's word is a shaky foundation and will eventually crumble. Thank you for listening, and we encourage you again to avail yourself of this and other messages on our sermon audio page. And until next time, may God guide you and bless you. Goodbye.